welcome back, listeners, and happy Sunday. Hope you have all had a fantastic week and that you've been able to experience some great life and culture and shows and events that have happened in our great community over the last week. And if you are now driving home or that you're getting ready for to wind down a crazy week, we're so thankful that you've listened in to us. And Mary, I was going to welcome Mary, of course, our wonderful co-host. I was going to tell you, last week I was driving home from Tampa. I was out of town. And I drove home on a Sunday night late and was able to listen to our show driving home from Tampa.
Are you serious?
And it was crystal clear. It was so cool. I was like, there I am in Tampa on the radio. So to all of our friends all over Central Florida and Tampa and Daytona and all those that are listening, we're so glad that you've tuned in tonight. But hello, Mary.
Oh, hi, Joshua. Joshua Vickery, I could not ask for a better co-host. And you're so wonderful at like taking us off. I really appreciate that.
Well, it's a lot better than TV. You know, it was really hard to land the plane and take off the plane, but radio is just so much easier.
That was easier for me. Isn't that interesting?
I don't know what it is. But also, we just love that we can wear jeans and t-shirts and be chilled and be
and little
cool.
makeup and still work together.
Oh, I love it.
Well, so, I had an interesting experience this tell week us. In the arts. Every now and then, corporate America will use artists come in to help them teach whatever it is they were doing. Pfizer was in town. And they had a few of us improvisers, three from New York and myself from down here, come in and do some sketches on how to sell different personality archetypes, like the one who wants to debate or the one who wants to teach or the one who always says yes but means no type of thing. And then we did little general sessions with them. And what we did is we shared three best practices that improvisers use, the yes and, which is inclusive and it moves you forward like we do in scene work, stopping, listening, slowing down. Slow down. You can take a break and slow. That's another technique that we use. And then also finding a way to make whatever is being said positive. And we did exercises with them that were fun and a little exaggerated. They were having a great time. But then when we said, how can you relate this to your work? There were so many aha moments that we watched them all go through. That was so satisfying that I'm just an improviser. But look, they're going to go out and sell drugs. Well, I guess that's good. No. They're going to sell more drugs. Can I say that? It's legal.
You can say
prescribed
that.
Drugs. But it was cool to see how the arts does influence other walks of life. And that made me very proud. I'm like, I got to tell Joshua about this.
Yeah, I love that story. It just shows that the arts are everywhere all around us. And it really impacts every single part of who we are. And you don't have to be a artist in quotes. We all are artists. And especially in what we do in our everyday work, we're creating. Mm-hmm. And that is art. And that is art. So I got to about a week and a half ago experienced something great. I get to go out in the community and get to see and do so much that's happening in our arts and culture. But we were able to spend some time with the principals from Osceola County Public Schools. And Debbie Famey and Pamela Haas and that whole team are really just creating a culture where students are thriving in the arts. And Osceola School for the Arts is creating some great leaders in the arts and great artists. And they shared all of these success stories of how people have moved on from Osceola County and now really doing great things all over the world, studying in some of the finest institutions and really, really making a difference. But it was so encouraging to see the superintendent, the outgoing superintendent, and the new superintendent stand up in front of a room of principals and make a commitment to the funding and the support of arts and culture in Osceola County. And it was just so neat to see the performances and the community partners and collaborators come together and just have a morning to celebrate what they're doing. And it was so neat. And one of the people that were at that event is our guest that's here with us today. And Flor Maria Garcia, the fabulous, fantastic, phenomenal Flor Maria Garcia is with us in the studio today. And we are so happy. So welcome, Flor Maria.
Welcome, Flora.
Thank you,
Flor Maria. We loved having you on our last show.
Oh, it was so much fun.
You've got such great energy and passion about you. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got the line of work you're in, and then what your day is like for you.
Oh, my day is different every day. It's a constant surprise, which actually makes it so much more interesting for me to do the work I do. I think I would be really bored if I were an accountant and had to repeat everything. The same for some people, that's reassuring, but I like the element of surprise on a daily basis. But how I came to be, I started out studying art as a fine artist, and I ended up realizing that I neither had the talent nor the will to be as disciplined as professional artists have to be in creating every single day. Mm. But I did an internship at the Arts Extension Service at the University of Massachusetts, putting together the New England Artists Festival. And it was sort of like the worlds colliding, where I got to work with artists but make things happen and administer and plan and run things. And I realized I was really good at telling people what to do. I may have been a terrible artist. I was a really good organizer and a really good planner, and could put things together to make them work. And so that was my aha moment, where I discovered what we call now arts administration. And from there, you know, I started working in the nonprofit sector. But it was through those internships that I found my calling and my passion. And really, I've been doing this kind of work for about 30 years.
Wow.
Yeah, so you were in Houston at the Houston Harris Council in Texas, and then you were in Atlanta and had an incredible impact there in that community. So why Orlando? What brought you here?
When I was in Atlanta, I ran a 10-county public policy and advocacy organization. I was a registered lobbyist for the arts. Mm. Be very afraid.
She's flexing her muscles as she says
that.
And I had run grant-making agencies before that, local arts agencies making grants, working with local communities. And Orlando came calling at about the time where we had completed a huge initiative of trying to get dedicated funding for the arts, get legislation passed, and the agency was, we were merging it into Atlanta's Regional Planning Commission, and I really missed running a local arts agency that was a grant maker. And United Arts of Central Florida is very much like the agency that I ran in Fort Worth, the agency in Houston. I ran the State Arts Council in Missouri, grant making, and a lot of community engagement. And so it was very appealing to me. On top of that, the leadership at United Arts was amazing. I mean, just the search committee had just about every community leader from each major sector on it. So it wasn't just arts. Mm. It was the superintendent of schools, the guy from United Way, the guy from the Community Foundation. And when I asked him about, and this was the search committee, I asked him about Orlando because I knew nothing about Orlando. Interviewing here, I liked the structure of the agency and the board leadership looked strong. I said, you know, why are you all here in this community? Well, people started leaping out of their chairs, so excited, because they were so excited about why they loved living in this community.
Wow.
And I thought, gosh, if all of these people can't sit still talking about why they love being here, then maybe I need to be part of that.
Well, that sends a great message, right? Yeah. I mean, you have all these community leaders that are on a search committee, and we talk a lot about how the arts are important. But do you believe they are important?
I think the arts are huge. I mean, in this morning's Principal's Art Appreciation Breakfast in Osceola County, we heard the keynote speaker, Mary Palmer, who was absolutely fabulous, talk about how the arts change lives. Mm. We heard a really compelling story of a young boy who discovered the arts in school. And when he was in middle school, he lost his entire family.
Oh boy!
But focused in theater, continued theater in school, went on to a theater program and came back to Osceola County to be a theater teacher in the Osceola public schools, and still successful theater person, still making art, making his work. But how that ability to engage in something that he was really passionate about at a very young age truly saved him. Because the loss of your family at an early age like that could just send a kid into drugs, into all kinds of trouble. And the arts just kept him focused. And I think I've seen that in so many cases. But the arts touch so many parts of our lives. I mean, when people talk about, oh, well, do we give to hunger? Or do we give to the arts? It's all of the above. Because we really are food for the soul. We're about self-expression. Mm-hmm. We're about dealing with difficult issues in challenging ways. I mean, the arts touch all aspects of our lives and our communities, and people that may say, I'm not an artist, I don't participate in the arts, then they sing in the church choir.
Right.
Or they sing in Josh's organization, Central Florida Community
Arts. And they are an artist. They are an artist.
And I saw your performers today, this morning, Josh, at 7:30 in the morning, God help us.
Yeah.
Very early
and
for
arts. And they sounded great,
people.
I bet, right?
They were standing there, and every single one of his choir members was moving in a different way. Some of them had their eyes closed, and you could tell how much they were loving singing at 7:30 in the morning. And to me, that's commitment, and that's a true passion for singing, for whatever it is that you do that is creative. Everybody has that creative spirit in them.
Laura Maria, that's one of the things that I love about watching Joshua when he's with his choir. He promotes that. He just says, be who you are.
Yeah.
There's someone out there coming just to see you. And he wants them to be individuals because they're not trying to be at the Met. They're a community choir, but they're amazing. They sing with such passion and soul because you give them permission to.
Well, art is all about expression, you know, and expression is what makes each person unique. And I think sometimes we don't think about that. We think of the arts as something we see or something we experience instead of being. Mm. And each one of us really are an artist. We just don't like to proclaim it all the time. Mm-hmm. So, Flora Marie, I'm curious because, you know, a lot of our listeners might not know much about the arts or even about United Arts. So can you explain to them what United Arts does and what your role is as its leader?
Yeah. Well, United Arts has been around since 1989, and since that time, it has contributed more than $136 million to nonprofit cultural organizations or individual artists for community-based projects. So we raise money from lots of different sources, and then we give it away. Through a competitive grants process, we have review panels of citizens in the community that are arts discipline experts or audience members. They go to a lot of things and they know what's good.
How are some of the ways you raise the money?
Oh, gosh. Well, we have a collaborative campaign for the arts, which we just completed. This year, our goal was $2 million. We're still tallying the numbers, so I don't know exactly where we are. But we raise money together for an intensive three-month time frame. It ends at the end of April and begins in February. And with the 19 largest budget groups, we raise money together. Mm. Like at the ballet, you'll hear curtain speeches saying, it's the United Arts Collaborative Campaign. Give now. Your program has a little flyer in it.
Yeah.
Do it now. And we solicit, United Arts promotes it. We also put all the collateral materials together for the 19 groups. And anybody that contributes to the campaign can designate their funding to one or more of those organizations or give to United Arts Arts for All Fund, which is the fund that funds our grant pool, of which we give to about 50 cultural organizations. Mm-hmm. So you can choose to fund 50 groups or you can choose to fund one or two, but it's really easy because you can write a check and support lots of organizations during this intensive time frame. We write grants just like everybody else. We have contract for services with many of our government partners, Orange County Public School District. We have a contract for services with them to get the arts in the schools, to get kids out to the arts. But we work with the four county school districts, also with county governments and City of Orlando, who give us funding to then sub-grant out to our cultural organizations.
So even though you had a fundraiser for 3 months that got matched, people can donate at any time, right?
Absolutely.
How would they do that if they wanted
to? They can go online to our website, www.unitedarts.cc, cat. and there's a donate now button, and they can give to United Arts. We are constantly raising money. We
say that one more time.
It's www.unitedarts.cc, and we have corporate grants, we have foundation grants, we have lots of individuals that give money, governments that are our partners that give money. So through every point in this community, there is a way. For contributions to come in through United Arts to fund all of the groups.
Well, and you're an advocate and a champion. You've got your boxing gloves on to make sure that these arts and culture organizations really have the funding that they need to do what they do. But it's got to be fun also to give money away. I mean, there's a lot in raising it, but you got to have some fun in giving it away too, right?
It's actually very painful
to
give money away because it's, and I watch our panels. I staff those grant panel meetings along with Mary Girollo and Chris M. Panther on our grant staff. And we work with the panelists to make the funding recommendations, dealing with the review criteria and their site visits throughout the year, watching all of these performers or exhibits. And it's heart-wrenching. We never have enough money to give.
Yeah.
Well, that's why it's so hard.
Hopefully listeners will hear and go to that website or Google search United Arts of Central Florida. We're going to be right back. We're going to get to hear more stories. There's so many more things we want to hear from you. Thank you so much. We're going to be right back in a few minutes. Joshua Vickery and myself at 107.7.
And welcome back to From the Heart. We hope that you're enjoying this show. And we're back with my wonderful co-host, Mary Thompson Hunt, and our guest, Flor Maria Garcia, the president and CEO of the United Arts of Central Florida. And Flor Maria, it's just so fun to talk to you about giving away money, but also the painful process, as you said, of really wanting to be able to help in such a greater way. But I have the privilege of being on both ends of the spectrum now. I'm with Central Florida Community Arts, we receive funds as a medium grant pool, and now I'm also getting to be a grant panelist for the small. So I'm getting to see both sides, and I work with your fantastic staff, Mary and Chris Ann. They do such a great job. But tell our listeners, what is it like to go through a grant process? What are the types of things that we have to, that arts organizations need to talk about and showcase, and then how do you make those decisions?
The groups have to fill out a grant application that has a lot of questions on them, and you have not a lot of space. And most of our cultural groups really like to write a lot, and that's not good.
No, keep your applications brief.
Keep it short, like a press release. Who, what, where, when, and why, and make sure your budget balances, because you would be amazed at how many people their budget doesn't balance. And those are the kinds of things that experienced grant makers immediately hone in on. Does this add up, and what's jumping out, and are they increasing their budget by a wild percentage, and does it even make sense? Is it realistic? Can they get it done? And then we look at, okay, what's exciting that we're going to be funding? Like, what's innovative? What's interesting? So the groups pitch to us an entire year of programming. So our reviewers look at, well, what's being proposed? Is it meeting a need in the community? Is it something that is cutting edge, that's new, that's different, that people are going to want to see? And then we look at engagement. Are they serving the whole community? We have a very diverse community in Central Florida. What kind of programming are you doing? And are you inviting people? Mm. Or is it just the same people that are coming over and over and over again? So do the numbers make sense? Are you doing interesting, innovative programming? Are you being relevant to your community? Are you really engaging people? And are you doing the public service that you're supposed to be doing? So we look at a lot of things. And then there are these discussions at the panel meeting. Our panelists meet one time a year. They review the grant applications, but throughout the year, they go and visit the performances or exhibits of the organizations that they're going to be reviewing, so that you actually get to see it, feel it, touch it. Talk to the people who are running the organizations, because we assign them intensive site visits. Each panelist get two organizations, and they go meet with the executive director and the board members. And it's an exchange where the organization gets to talk about, what are your challenges? What is it you want to accomplish? What do you want those panelists to hear? Mm. Really tell us about your organization. And those panelists then come back and share that information and what everybody saw. And so they talk about the application as a group, and then they rank the application. They score the application based on artistic quality, outreach and education, and management ability. Mm. And then at the very end, our trustworthy staff adds everything up on the computer and gives a score sheet overall, an average of what the score was that each of those applicants got and how much money we have to give. And the computer spews out a series of recommendations that then the panelists begin to negotiate. And that's the really hard part about it, because let me reiterate.
How many panelists?
It's 12 to 15. Mm-hmm. We never have enough money. Mm. And so that's where the panelists, who take this very, very seriously, begin to wring their hands and negotiate, bargain, trade, and say, you know, because we say we rank the highest to the lowest score-getting application. And then we look at how much money there is to give. And then they start making cuts. And we start at the bottom. Is there anybody you want to zero out who got a low score? Anybody, you know, we're going to have to cut somebody. So we start from the bottom up and start reducing money. And then we want to reward excellence. So we start adding money to the top award winner. So it's really, it's a day-long process. And the funding is very difficult.
Yeah.
Can you give us an example of a project that you funded that you're proud of that did everything you had hoped it would?
There's some interesting organizations. I love the groups like Josh's group that start. I mean, I think you're, 5 years old now, Josh?
Yeah, we're 4 years old as a nonprofit, but 5.5 as an entity, yeah.
That have accomplished what I call smart growth, because they're modest, but they've done, every year they grow incrementally, and they really take on very interesting things. Like your Alzheimer's mm-hmm. program is really compelling and impactful. And there's another organization called SNAP, which is a contemporary photography mm-hmm. group that opened up a space at Mills 50 that's done amazing work.
Absolutely.
And now they've opened a downtown space in a corporate building that's allowing them to use their lobby as an exhibit space. And the last time they had an opening, I think they had close to 2,000 people show up.
Wow, incredible. Yeah, we need to have Patrick on the show.
Great.
That would be incredible. Before Marie, you know, it's interesting, as somebody who has to write a lot of grants, really the grant process usually is about how well you write and what resource materials you can send in. Mm-hmm. You don't get to have the grant panelists or the decision makers experience your art. And you also definitely don't get to sit down and have conversation about it. Right. So you really do a great service to our organizations to be able to let them showcase more than just how well they write, but how able, you know, what is their art like and what is it, the experience like? Then also be able to have conversation about making the case for who they are as an organization and their needs. And one of the things I also love about it is that sometimes the fiduciary responsibility or the management and those things, although those are very important, that they sometimes outweigh the artistic quality or the service to the community. And I love that such a huge percentage of United Arts funding is based on artistic, you know, what are you bringing artistically, but also the service to the community, including mm-hmm. diversity and inclusiveness. Right. Tell our listeners why you're passionate and why your board is passionate about diversity and inclusiveness when it comes to the arts.
Well, because we believe that everyone deserves to have an arts experience, and mm-hmm. not everyone is so lucky to be able to experience the art at an early age. I mean, I know I was lucky when I was in the sixth grade and got taken to the Richmond, Virginia Philharmonic by my sixth grade teacher. But my parents were not arts people. And so had I not experienced a live arts performance because of school, I may never have in my college and high school year have never really had the notion of even going to a museum or a live music performance. And that's why I think arts and education is so critically important. But I believe the arts belong to everyone. And so even if you may not have the means, you should have the ability and the access to experience the arts. And I can't tell you how many wonderful things our groups are doing to do outreach in communities and work not only with children, but with hospital programs, with Alzheimer's programs, with kids in homeless shelters, taking artists in to have the kids do their portraits and then write about their lives and then exhibit that at the Museum of Art.
Wow.
dance and movement, mm-hmm. and getting kids physically involved, but also self-expression, kids writing about, I've been to poetry slams, mm-hmm. where you mm-hmm. have these inner city kids mm-hmm. writing poetry and then performing their poetry, mm-hmm. and you see those faces and you see the engagement mm-hmm. of those children and you see their passion. And nothing touches kids.
They have mm.
Or people who experience the arts are really transported. I was talking to one of my board members yesterday who just went to see Beautiful, the Carole King mm-hmm. story.
I'm at going
the
tonight.
Fabulous Dr. Phillips Center for the Performing Arts. And I've been to almost every one of their Broadway series, by the way. And I love going there. They've brought so many wonderful things to our community. But she said during the performance, she said there was a lady three aisles down from her that thought she was at a rock concert, and she was standing up and waving her arms at the Dr. Phillips Center, and
that
she was
her way
she
of
was
expression.
And then two ladies down from her on the right were singing out loud.
Oh, yay.
During the carol, could because Carole King wrote so many songs,
catchy
that,
tunes,
that
yeah.
everybody, you may not know that it's a Carole King song, but mm-hmm. she's been performed by the Beatles, she's been performed by Herman's Hermits, the Monkees. I mean, like, amazing, a lot of performers. But people get excited, and people want to participate, and arts touches you.
So tell us, you mentioned something about an Arts for All Day.
Yeah.
Is that, I know that probably ties right into that mission.
I'm super excited about that. This is something we just invented. And it's going to happen next February 4th.
Are we the first to hear of it?
You are the first to hear of
it.
You
just invented it.
Yeah, I may get fired by my board.
Please don't fire. We're just trying to make the arts affordable and accessible to all.
Actually, they know about it. But publicly, this is the first.
Yay.
You're so hearing it here, folks.
Next year on February 4th from 4 to 11 at the Lock Haven. I just said 4 to 11.
You mean 11 to 4?
11 to 4, thank you. We are night people, though.
That's true.
We are going to do a day that's called Arts for All Day at the Lock Haven Cultural District, which is where the Science Center, Shakespeare, the Repertory Theater, the Museum of Art, Manello, and the Ballet Building are. It'll be a free or reduced rate day where within the venues, every organization that we support and others will be able to do a snapshot performance of what they do. So every 45 minutes, there's going to be something different going on in every public space and theater in all of those venues.
That's so cool.
It is going to be great. We're going to have pop-up events, and we're going to have exhibits everywhere, food trucks in the parking lot. So we write this down on your calendars, everyone.
It's like a five-hour fringe festival.
It's going to be crazy. It's going to be fun. You're going to be able to wear your shorts and flip-flops, bring the kids.
What day of the week is February 4th?
It's Saturday.
Saturday, February 4th, 11 to 4.
It's
going to
be gorgeous weather.
Gorgeous weather.
65 degrees.
Everybody's going to be able to do something, engage in something. You'll be able to see Indian dance. You'll be able to see classical. You'll be able to see contemporary dance. You name it, we're going to have it there. It'll be fun, and I hope everyone will come.
February the 4th, Arts for All Day. So that seems far away, but it'll be here before you know it. So put it on your calendars and save it and make sure you go out and support Arts for All Day. And thank you for creating that, Flo Marie. That's amazing.
And speaking of creating that, we're also looking for funders. So
well, give us that website again.
It's www.unitedarts.cc. We're looking for sponsors, corporate sponsors, people that want to back up the programs. And we're getting great response from our corporate and foundation funders about it. But we're always looking for more.
Oh, well, that's awesome. And that's your job, to always look for more, right?
And our listeners are so generous.
Yes.
We think they are.
We hope so.
Watch, they'll prove it.
That's awesome. So, Flo Marie, tell us about another initiative that you're excited about with United Arts. You guys, I learned in this breakfast even that there's so many things that you're doing that the community may not even know about because they see you as a funder and not creating opportunities. So share with us.
We did a project a couple of years ago, it's actually in year two, with Evans High School, which is an inner city, primarily African-American high school. It's quite a large school. It's a community school. They have a partnership with UCF. And the Evans High School principal said, we want to infuse Evans with the arts, but we don't know what to do. And so at the same time, I was doing research on our creative industries and realized that just the three major theme parks employ more than 9,500 creatives. Those are high-level paying jobs. creatives, and most of those creatives are being shipped in from other places in the United States because they can't hire them locally. They don't have the skill sets. So we worked with Valencia College, UCF, and OCPS to design curriculum that was focused on specific back-of-house jobs within the creative and cultural
examples
industries.
Being
lighting design, sound design, digital media. They had a TV production studio at Evans. They had amazing studios and amazing equipment, but nobody teaching. And so what we said, well, what are the jobs that are out there in the creative industries that these kids could get? And then design curriculum to feed them into that job market. Mm. And then also in year two of that program, the kids do hands-on internships with the cultural sector, but also there are a lot of large companies here that do behind-the-scenes productions. Like if you have a rock and roll show at the arena, just think of all the multimedia production that goes into that. Well, they're for-profit businesses that do that here, very large.
Yeah.
And those guys came in and want to mentor the kids. They want to intern the kids. They're talking about how they got into the business. So we're so excited because it's been a wonderful partnership. And now we're looking at replicating the program in Osceola County.
Yeah, wow. Absolutely.
Wow. Osceola is high school, building a STEM, what was going to be a STEM high school focused on science and math. And we got them to add the A, arts, just to make it a STEAM high school.
Always room for another
vowel. Incorporating this program into now the STEAM high school in Osceola County, which is perfect because Osceola is mostly where the our major theme parks are.
And that's really important. I mean, that's something you're advocating, of course, is that STEAM, because we know when I went to national advocacy, just even trying to build caucuses when we're doing voting, that STEAM is just as important as STEM. The arts do make a difference, and they're important.
But well, we're going to get to hear a little bit more about it.
Yeah.
We're going to be right back in a little while longer with Flora Maria. What a pleasure to have you here today. We'll be right back. Magic Radio 107.7. Sorry, we're trying to figure out what date this is going to be airing. So we just did today, Gene, and that's airing on the 8th, right?
Yep, and then Flora Maria's will air
15th.
On the 15th.
Yes.
So we want to promote the next weekend of stuff, which would be
5/22.
Yeah, 5/22.
That whole
so
week.
Let's see what's playing
5/22. Oh, well, we've got Fringe opening.
Oh, yeah, this should be very fun.
The Fringe is running, so please, if you haven't seen anything, you've got another week left because it'll have
and
opened.
And the Florida Prize at the Museum of Art
Gypsy
will have opened, which would be fun.
Again?
Florida Prize at the Museum of Art would
Welcome back to the show, and thank you for listening in this evening. We are here today talking about United Arts of Central Florida and all the wonderful things that they are doing when it comes to raising the funds to keep our arts and culture alive, but also the advocacy as well. And we were just chatting on the break a little bit with Flora Maria Garcia, our fantastic guest today, a champion for the arts. And we were talking about how important advocacy is and really making sure that you make a stand for the arts. But how are some ways that our listeners can do that?
I think people need to remember that their voices are really important, and weighing in on an issue is very important. Whenever that issue comes up, letting their county commissioners, city commissioners, state legislators know what's on their mind, make the message brief and to the point. But our arts community has become a good advocacy group. I mean, we've been quite active on a number of issues, state funding. For one, we actually got the funding for the Florida Council up when there were significant threats to cutting that budget, and our groups all weighed in. We have some important state legislators that make budget decisions on the state level, and our community spoke and they listened, and the funding came back up. And so on every issue, local, right now, you know, we're trying to get an increase in public sector arts support, and we're going to be testifying before the Orange County commissioners because it is important. They do listen. Our elected officials do listen if we make a reasonable business case for why the arts are important. And we have the numbers about the arts and economic impact, but we also have the data on why the arts are impactful to our community on so many levels, on education, engagement, tourism.
Yeah, and you know, we talk a lot on this show about how important the arts are and how they make a difference, and we know that. We talk a lot about the joys and the great things that arts and culture groups are doing, but what are some of the challenges that our groups are facing? And you know, we were talking about the funding is important to help them be sustainable, but what are some of the challenges you're noticing?
The biggest challenge is for groups to raise their general operating support, which is what United Arts grants.
And what is general operating support? Tell us what that is.
Money to pay the light bill, money to pay your actors, money to pay your healthcare costs.
Your executive director.
Executive director, exactly.
To rent microphones.
The things that organizations spend money on to produce their product. And that's the non-sexy money. Most funders like to give to brand new projects or, you know, and we're really talking about the need to continue to support the operations of our nonprofit cultural organizations to do what they do and do it well. And so that's the challenge, and that's why it's important to have sustainable funding, not just hit and miss funding for the shiny new penny, but funding that the groups can count on from one year to the next and to continue to grow as the budgets grow and the programs grow. We need to be able to keep up with that demand so that they can serve more people every year.
What are some of them?
How could someone who lives in Central Florida who isn't involved in the arts find out when their presence is needed to speak up about it and where to go?
If they call United Arts, we are on top of everything that's going on, and they can either speak to me or one of our staff people. If an issue is at the forefront, we will send emails out. Also to our cultural leaders, I just sent an email out on Thursday to our executive directors and their board chairs about an issue and what United Arts position was on that issue, hoping that they would support the same position, because it is very important for all of us in the cultural sector to send the same message so that we're not conflicting with each other, and elected officials want to hear the same message, and they want to hear it succinctly, and that's when you're successful at advocacy.
Well, if enough people show up and speak the same message, it really does make a difference?
Absolutely. I had a friend of mine who runs a major national public policy agency, Americans for the Arts, say if a legislator gets 20 emails or 20 letters about an issue, they pay attention.
Wow.
And so your voice does make a difference.
I think that's important to point out, because I think a lot of people think that it has to be a flood of response. And 20 voices is not a whole lot when it comes to an issue.
That's right. And if you think about our cultural group, say we have 50 organizations and on average 25 board members, we have 50 board members. That's a lot of people. Mm-hmm. If you multiply 50 times 25 or 50 times 50, that's a lot of people who think something is important.
Mm-hmm.
And really, investing in the arts is really investing in our community.
Mm-hmm.
It truly is an investment in the quality of life of the place we want to live.
And the quality of people.
Absolutely.
I mean, the arts teach us to be compassionate and have empathy. They say you can tell a lot about a community by how it supports its artists and the arts.
Right.
And we want to be known as that kind that cares.
And in addition, corporations who are looking at investing in new communities, moving their headquarters or moving branches, they want to know they're moving into civilized society.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to know that when their employees come and live here, that their employees are going to be able to enjoy the arts, enjoy that there's a ballet, that there's an opera, that there's a philharmonic, that there's an art museum with high quality work. Because even if a CEO may not attend something, they want to know that it's here for the people in his company that do. And the other thing, I was on a panel after an IBM did a study of Fortune 500 CEOs. The number one criteria that Fortune 500 CEOs look for in hiring high-level employees is creativity.
Wow.
They want creative thinkings. They want people who can connect the dots. They want people who can interpret. They want people who ask questions.
Mm.
And those are people that work in the arts, have arts experience, go to the arts, because it forces your mind to think. It forces you to think outside of the box. And those are the people that high-level employers want to be hiring.
That's a great point to make. And also, the arts just make people happy. And we want happy people here in Central Florida, right?
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about the creative economy. You touched on that earlier. And I think that's huge to think about, because sometimes, again, when we think about the arts, we only think about what happens on stage or what's in a museum. Right. And there's so much more to that. And I believe we're like number two city behind Portland.
We're huge in the
creative industries.
And the creative industries are the for-profit businesses that are creative endeavors, like architects, graphic artists, those kinds of businesses that, where our major theme parks are creative industries. And we are a family-friendly Las Vegas.
Yeah,
that's true. And think about if you think about the three major theme parks hiring in excess of 9,500 creatives who live in this community, that's pretty big.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, huge.
So we are a significantly creative sector in Central Florida, and that is what attracts our technology people, the millennials, those people that want to live in interesting communities that are also tolerant, open-minded, but are also are full of ideas and innovation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're such a great spokesperson for this. You really are. Mm-hmm. I'm just sitting here listening like, that actually makes sense. And I already love the arts. So like, I know that there are people listening who are understanding how important the arts are to our community.
I have one more piece of data. We saw a study done by Florida Trend Magazine, which is a tourism industry researcher magazine, and they said that with Florida travelers, cultural tourism is the number two choice of things they want to do when they come into a community. That means that they want to come and see cultural, historical, they want to participate in the arts. And that is the second of nine items when they asked tourists, Florida visitors, what they wanted to engage in. Cultural tourism ranks second.
Wow.
That makes sense, though, because you get a sense of who the people are by what they enjoy.
Well, also, though, the arts create a sense of place. They define who we are. They give personality to our community. They really, every city is unique because of its culture. What kind of culture? Think about New Orleans. The culture of New Orleans, well, you think about the food, you think about the music. I mean, it's all New Orleans. And so that the culture of a community really defines who and what they are to people coming to visit.
What do you think the culture of Central Florida is becoming?
I think it's very interesting. I was just having a conversation with a young man who is in the tech industry. And for our Arts for All Day, February 4th, 11 to 4.
Plug, plug.
One of the things that we want to do, this is becoming a huge video gaming industry now.
Sure.
And he was talking about how many of the video game designers are fabulous artists. Indeed, they are. Mm. So I'm thinking, well, good grief, why don't we do an exhibit of video game artists at the Museum of Art on the Day of Arts for All Day?
Oh, that's a great idea.
All those beautiful images that they create for video games, why not put them up on the wall and have interactive opportunities for people visiting, seeing an exhibit of video game artists, also participating in the video games that they've designed. So it's like you see the images on the wall, but you're also playing the games.
And you're watching them play the games and seeing the videos. It's cool.
And we're attracting a whole new crowd of millennials and mixing the technology people with our arts people. And we're all creatives. They're all creatives. So there's going to be this amazing conversation and amazing exchange of ideas. And, you know, I'm just excited about that because I think Central Florida is trying to attract technology. We're already strong in the video game simulation areas. So we are moving in that very, very creative
direction.
We've got
direction. Full Sail out here that's training.
Yeah, I was going to say Full Sail is great, and they're training wonderful new artists in all these different disciplines, but then they're releasing them back into our community to create some of these creative jobs. So,
you know, one thing I think I want to make sure that people know, it is expensive to go out to theater and to some of the art events. Not all, but it can be pricey. But you can volunteer. And that's very important to let people know. I love that.
Yes,
that
you can usher, you can volunteer. Fringe Festival, which we're going to talk about in a second, uses tons of volunteers. In fact, most of our cultural organizations have a significant core of volunteers that act as ushers, docents. I do want to go back to your question, Mary, about how do people find out what's going on. I want to plug Orlando at Play,
yes,
which is United Arts event website. And you can get on it. It's www.orlandoatplay.com. You can sign up for free within Orlando at Play. And every week on a Thursday, I think it is,
every Thursday,
United Arts will send you an email that has a menu of the 5 or 6 new and interesting things that there are to do over the weekend.
That's
great. You can search on it by artistic discipline. So if you want to go see theater, you can search theater, visual arts. There's a drop down on the menu that is also for students. So students can get weekly email tailored to their interests and their price points. So student ticketing. There's also one for adults 55 and over. It's called the Silver Vibe. We didn't want to call it seniors because seniors are too cool now.
Right.
I qualify for the Silver Vibe.
The Silver.
Yeah,
that's good to know.
It's Orlando at Play. Sign up for www.orlandoatplay.com.
.com. Very important.
So that's a great website to be reminded of all the wonderful things that are happening. Because if you happen to have a night free or the weekend free, there's so many things to choose from. But that will really help you pick the right one for you. But Flo Maria, we're going to have to go soon. But I think it's important. You know, you've been on this such a great journey through your career of finding out that you are an artist, but it wasn't your career path. You realize you could tell people what to do really well. So now you're the president and CEO of United Arts. But what advice would you give to artists that are listening? Maybe that aspiring video game designer or that visual artist who just paints at home and nobody knows, but they dream of being, you know, the next Michelangelo or whatever it may be. What advice do you have having such a successful arts career?
I think plugging in to organizations that you may admire, volunteering, as Mary said. I mean, I started my career doing an internship, and really it was the best thing I could have done in my entire life. But I think it's plugging into groups. Networking is huge. You talk to people and they'll give you 5 ideas of who else to talk to. But that constant communication, networking, being out there, being involved, knowing what's going on, will make you all the connections on the planet.
And tell us about, you know, just one last time, the final plea for funding. What where can they go? What can they do? How can they know where to give? Give us that whole information.
Go to our website, www.unitedarts.cc. There's a donate now button. There's also a guide to all of our cultural organizations. You can certainly call us and ask questions. Any one of our staff would be happy to speak and talk to you about the different organizations, or if you just want to contribute to the Arts for All Fund, we're happy to take the funds. Our phone number is 407-628-0333, and our website is a wealth of information about our cultural sector.
Yeah,
please plug in, everybody. It'll change your life for the better.
Yeah, and tell us one more time why we should fund. Give us a couple of words.
Because the arts need the money.
And the arts are for all. We want to make the arts for all. That's your new platform for Maria. The arts need money. Thank you so much for being with us. You've been fantastic and fun and wonderful. And go out and see some great art coming up this weekend. We have Gypsy out at the Athens Theater, and we're going to meet the brains and the geniuses behind the Sack Club, but you can always go see a show at the Sack Comedy Club. What are you going to go check out, Mary?
They're celebrating their 25th year, as is Orlando Fringe Festival. You've got the second week coming up. Go to Orlando Fringe Festival. You're going to love it. The Kids Fringe is free on Saturday.
And Orlando Museum of Art is having a new exhibition, right? Tell us about that, Flo Maria.
That is a great exhibit that is opening next Thursday, called the Florida Prize, and it's Florida contemporary artists doing installations at the Museum of Art, and you've got to come out and see that. That will be up for at least 6 weeks from next Thursday.
Awesome. Go out and support some arts. The arts need money. The arts are important. Thank you, Flamaria, and my co-host, Mary Thompson-Hunt. We'll see you next week on From the Heart, Magic 107.7 FM.
Bye-bye.